there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. It's Wednesday. Dr. Sherry Siegel with us today. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there. We've been looking at something new for you. Yeah. Give it a name, and we can write a grant. Irritable Male Syndrome, IMS. Boy, have I had that in my life. I have IMS'd myself amazingly. You ever feel stressed out, grumpy, moody? If you're a guy with these words describe your mental state occasionally, you were suffering with what we now call irritable male syndrome. I like it. I like irritable male syndrome. You know, we've always had PMS for women and irritability and midlife crisis and menopause. Men, what do we have? Irritable male syndrome we have. And it's being recognized as a specific pathology that's a lot deeper than you think it is. It's not just saying pissed off man. It's not just saying that. We're saying more than that. So if you're a guy with these words and they describe your mental state, listen up today. And if you're a woman who's living with a man who has turned from nice to mean, you're going to be suffering as well. And today, maybe we can help you understand it. So what is irritable male syndrome? Is this a new problem or a newly recognized problem? And what they've done in research, they've discovered why millions of men have become angry and depressed, and why they so often vent their frustrations on the people they love the most. You know, it's like you kick the cat when you're irritable. Irritable male syndrome can be defined as a state of hypersensitivity, frustration, anxiety, and anger that occurs in males, which may be associated with biochemical changes, hormonal fluctuations, psychological factors, stress, and loss of male identity. So how are depression and aggression linked in men? And what they found from the most professional research, common experience has assumed women suffered from depression twice as much as men. What they found in their research, that men often experience depression in different forms than women. Irritability, anger, and hypersensitivity are male aspects of depression that often go unrecognized. So, we're going to talk about this today. And interesting, don't you think, Sherry?
It is, and I think there's definitely a different manifestation of depression in men compared to women. Not all the time, but frequently. So it's important to look for some different things in men when you ask them questions about depression.
So it's a condition that affects men who may be typically experiencing a decrease or fluctuation in number of things. Now, you could have you could lose your job, right? And you could have a decrease or loss of face, these psychological factors. Loss of image, psychological factors. Loss of ethic, psychological factors. Loss of mind, psychological factors. Losses and irritability seem to go together. I used to remember there was a dog who lived in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and he was always angry. The dog was always angry. And the dog was always barking and ready to bite. And I remember a wise person once saying to me, that dog is hurting. And I said, what do you mean hurting? The dog is always barking and biting. He said, the reason he's barking and biting is because he hurts inside. And I remembered that. I remember that because that's what I think is why people, very often why men, are irritable. But let's look a little further at it. First, since I have the good graces of having the physician Sherry with us, I'd like to look at some of the chemical factors involved, the hormonal factors involved, and what goes on in the chemistry. Because for all we know, irritable male syndrome can be the result of depression, but it could also be psychosis. It could be a guy loses his mind and he's hallucinating and he's seeing people coming after him, and so he's irritable all the time because he's paranoid, you know? Or it could be manic depression. It could be part of a manic episode that a guy is having, you know, where they're having a really good time, and then they are or it could be addiction. Irritable male syndrome can often be the result of addiction. It could be sleep deprivation. If you keep somebody deprived of sleep, or if they get sleepless and they can't get a good night's sleep, irritability is definitely going to be there. And there could be side effect of medications. It could be post-traumatic stress disorder. It could be a brain tumor. You know, Sherry, how does that work? How does a brain tumor leave you irritable? What sets off the anger?
It really depends on where the tumor is in the brain. The manifestations that a person will have to the outside world really depend on the site where the tumor is pushing on. So in other words, if it's around the hippocampus, for example, it might affect the memory. If it's in the frontal lobe, a person's ability to exhibit their executive functions, those are the functions.
Yeah, but what would make you irritable?
If you could be irritable if, say, it's in the left frontal lobe, that's a place where, when it's affected, say, by stroke, sometimes people have depression and irritability with depression.
Can they have irritability without depression?
Absolutely, they can.
Okay. All right. Anyway, this syndrome, which we call irritable male syndrome, IMS, is often known as, because many experience difficulties bad enough that they make life-changing decisions that affect them. And it has to be careful. You have to watch out for it. A man is less likely to seek help for IMS than a woman who is suffering discomfort. Getting help can be a critical thing for a man who is suffering with this, because it could lead to thoughts of suicide, and it could also it could signify a real, true disorder that's at the beginning of a disorder. Many of the disorders that it could relate to has to do with the glands. And we're going to talk about the glands. Men who suffer with hormone imbalance can suffer with prostate problems, you know, which, of course, with frequency in urination, decrease in stamina. And these fluctuations are not always caused by the obvious, which is low testosterone. Okay, now let's talk about testosterone. Where is that thing? Testosterone, such an interesting thing, testosterone. All right? How can you tell if somebody has low testosterone?
Well, some of the symptoms are a drop in libido, for example. That's a common...
That's the obvious one.
Mm-hmm, that's the obvious one. But sometimes someone who is normally energetic, upbeat, sometimes if their testosterone level is low, they can suffer from depression or appear as if they are suffering from depression.
You look like, what's the matter with you? Your testosterone drop? Well, you know, that's a thing that people don't know, and we don't talk about testosterone very much except as, you know, the enemy. Testosterone, there are daily cycles where testosterone is higher in the morning and lower at night. You know, did you ever notice that about yourself? Many men will feel themselves more stimulated in the morning than they do at night sexually. Men have a monthly hormonal cycle that is unique to each man, but men can actually track their moods and recognize that they are related to hormonal changes through the month, and these hormonal changes are around. You know, if a man would ever track his cycles, he would find there are mood changes, and they could easily be related to testosterone.
You know, in women, it's much easier to track a cycle, because the menstrual cycle happens on a regular basis. You can go by calendar day with the changes. There are changes in body temperature. So it's much easier to track it in a woman, but it would be really fascinating to track it in a man.
We know that there are seasonal cycles, with testosterone is higher in November and lower in April. We know that. We know that hormonal cycles with males during adolescence, but also the years between 40 and 55, have this abundance of changes. And finally, we know there are no hormonal changes in men going through IMS. That there are hormonal changes going through men going through IMS, which is the irritable male syndrome, and they could be related to stress. But let's look at some of these factors, because you're going to learn things today about the glands and the hormones that maybe we haven't spelled out to you before. Sherry, take me through a little guide, a little tour of this. How about start with the adrenals? Well, everybody's always told me the adrenals are important. They say if you take steroids, your adrenals shut down. If you drink too much coffee, your adrenals shut down. Who cares?
Well, the adrenals are really important glands. They produce three different hormones, cortisol, androgens, and aldosterone. And
well, those three are all steroidal hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So the adrenals produce the steroidal hormones.
Yes, and they're important in regulation of blood pressure, in regulation of blood sugar. Those are very important, and that's why sometimes when you take steroids from outside the body, ones that you take orally, for example, your own body's production of the hormones diminishes because the feedback mechanism says we've got enough hormone on board. But the hormones then go on, the androgens, for example, are the male hormones. And so they're important in the creation of testosterone and the male hormones in the body.
Well, a person with an adrenal dysfunction, we're talking about how does that lead to irritable male syndrome? Because you're going to have a drop in your blood sugar. You're going to feel change in your blood pressure, right? So all of this. So what we're saying is if a person becomes irritable, it is possible they have a misfunction of their adrenal glands.
Absolutely. And there's actually a syndrome called Addison's syndrome, which is a decreased activity of the adrenals, broken adrenals, and people become depressed. That's one of the main signs of Addison's syndrome. The blood pressure goes down. There is very little energy. And so those are symptoms of Addison's disease.
How does somebody who's a therapist, who sees somebody comes in with Addison's disease, know that they have a low-functioning adrenal if they're just a psychologist?
It's a great question and a really important one, because if you see someone who has a new change, and there's no obvious explanation. It's one of the things that I would do as a physician, and a psychiatrist would certainly do, and as a therapist, if you see a sudden change in somebody, it's important to think of the body and the hormones as a possible cause.
I got you. So if it's sudden, and there seems to be a sudden mood shift that hasn't happened before, that makes you suspect possible physical causes.
Sudden does, but also sudden can be over a month as well, especially when it comes to glands, because glands are a little more subtle than, say, blood vessels. Blood vessels are acute, and if you have a stroke or a heart attack, there's an acute change in your blood vessels over minutes.
So your adrenal glands, where are they located, by the way? Are they two of them?
They're right above your kidneys.
Right above your kidneys. You have two adrenal glands. And these glands are very important because they're producing a lot of stuff that you need. They're helping you balance your sugar. Right, is insulin regulated by the adrenals?
Well, it's influenced by cortisol.
Okay, now the thyroid gland is another gland. Now, for men who have, you know, men have glands. Men don't think in terms of glands, you know?
And that's true.
In men's glands, if your thyroid is out of function, what could happen?
Well, if you have a hypothyroid syndrome, it's very much like Addison's or like other psychological problems. People have no energy. People feel sometimes depressed. They have a decreased libido. So they're very similar. In a lot of ways, when you see these symptoms in your office, for example, all of these questions are in the differential diagnosis. Is the person's thyroid not functioning? Is this an adrenal problem? So these are the things that we as physicians rule out when a patient comes in with a change in mood.
So part of a change in mood could be that the person has a low, for example, in a thyroid gland, can cause an influence on testosterone itself. One of the things that they found in the research is that if a person has low testosterone, you just don't look at testosterone levels and wonder about that. You should check out the thyroid. And it's kind of interesting. And I think men should go for these checks. Can a man go get a blood test and check his adrenals? How do you check your adrenals?
Well, the interesting thing about hormones is that there are ranges of normal. And so what's sometimes difficult to determine is what your normal is may be within the – if you have a drop from your normal range, rather, it may be all happening within the normal range.
How do you test adrenal glands?
You can have a blood test done.
Adrenal glands will show up on the blood test in what part? What part of the blood test will show it?
Yeah. Well, your hormones can be tested. So if you go to an endocrinologist, they can test your thyroid hormone, your cortisol levels, the various times of days that they fluctuate. So those can be tested.
So
yes.
It's a funny thing, you know. Most men, I think, they go see a physician. I can't remember a physician ever saying to me, "We should test all of we should test your pancreas." I guess they look for things that are significant in the blood test that may suggest there's an imbalance over there. Go look for it.
Well, when a patient comes into the office and then they have a symptom, what we're taught is when we hear hoofbeats, think of horses, not zebras. So the horses, the common horses, are stress, depression. Those are common, and so ruling those out first is sometimes done before people are sent for blood tests and brain scans and things like that, because they're more invasive, more expensive.
But if you're an average man and you want to take care of yourself, not a bad idea to get included. Check out your glands. You know, how's your glands? One of the other things about thyroid I've heard, it could be high thyroid functioning can lead to anxiety, vision changes, fatigue, hair loss, insomnia, sweating, and weight loss. You know what I mean? So high priority. Now, what about the pancreas?
The pancreas is an important gland in our body. It produces insulin. Insulin is what takes sugar that goes into our bloodstream when we eat something into the cells. And it's very important. Without it, we actually have to replace it. When someone has type 1 diabetes, they are dependent on insulin to be replaced, because their bodies are not producing the insulin. And sometimes patients who've had surgery, for example, whose pancreases have been removed, they need to have insulin as well.
So a pancreas malfunctioning could result in irritable male syndrome. And that's part of the point. When you see the irritable male syndrome and it comes on, if a person is irritable, you want to know, have you been sleeping? Are you sleeping okay? How's your diet been? But then somewhere behind it, as well as the psychological, which we'll get to, we've got to look as well at the physical to make sure. Now, the pituitary, one of my favorite things, is located in the brain and has three different sections. Each section produces certain hormones, excuse me. The pituitary helped to stimulate all the other glands in the body. The hypothalamus, right, which I always liked, is located above the gland, above the pituitary, and helps to carry signals to it, working as a sort of relay system. When an imbalance occurs, it can infect the entire endocrine system. That means the glands and the hormones. Symptoms of male irritability you can point very often to a malfunction of the pituitary gland. So if you're somebody who feels this irritability growing on in you, just don't go see a shrink. I mean, here I am, a shrink who's saying, you know, but don't go see us. Check yourself out physically.
I mean, it's always the question as a physician, is this symptom coming from the person's tissues, or is it coming from the person's brain activity? It's a really difficult question, and so there's a hierarchy of ways that we approach these things, from the least invasive to the more invasive testing, from the horses to the zebras. That's really how we make our decisions as physicians when someone comes in with a symptom. But it is extremely difficult, and sometimes these symptoms and these syndromes go undiagnosed and untreated because no one has ever had a test of their hormones, for example.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about irritable male syndrome. And we're talking about it on a hormonal level at first, and then we're going to talk about it on a psychological level. Now, one of the tests they do is five or more of the following symptoms have to be present during the same two-week period. Right? So five or more. Either a depressed mood, a loss of interest or a loss of pleasure, markedly diminished interest or pleasure in all or certainly almost all activities most of the day, nearly every day, significant weight loss when not dieting or weight gain, and this is tested by a change of 5% of the body weight in a month. So if you weigh 100 pounds and you gain 5 pounds, you're 200 pounds and you gain 10 pounds in a month, that's a sign that something may be going on. Insomnia or hyperinsomnia, What is hypersomnia?
Hypersomnia is too much sleeping, right. It's not enough sleep, and then there's too much sleep.
How could too much sleep make you irritable?
I think it's that it's just one of the symptoms that people are irritable. They sometimes sleep to shut out the world. They don't want to get up out of bed.
I know, but in itself, what chemical effect would it have on you? It would seem like you'd be so much better off for sleeping all day. You know, like Rip Van Winkle or something like that. I know your muscles will grow flaccid and, you know, things like that will happen, but sleeping a long time, could that be good for you?
I think if you're a bear, it is. If you're a human being.
When's the last time you slept for 12 hours? Do you ever sleep for 12 hours?
Not that I can remember.
That must be great. Must be great. Okay. Psychomotor agitation, fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of worthlessness or inappropriate guilt. Now, that is where it moves into the psychological. But you hear, sometimes with an irritable male syndrome, you hear these people having a little excessive guilt, like they take responsibility for things that they're not responsible for. And then there are the recurrent thoughts of death, suicide, even without a specific plan, or just an idea of how you would like to end your life. All of this could be a symptom of either a physical or an emotional condition that's worth paying attention to.
You know, and it's a really important for people in the family and even for primary care physicians to always ask that question when someone comes in with depression or a sudden change in their mood. Have you felt like hurting yourself in any way? Do you have plans to do that? That's very important.
What's important there is the plan. That's what we've learned is our criteria, because many people, like I remember they used to say, if you lift someone's depression too quickly, they will commit suicide. That's an old theory that they used to float around for therapists who move too quickly. And it wasn't true. What happened was if you lift somebody's depression too much, they become anxious. And when they become anxious, they say, I feel like killing myself, but that doesn't mean they really feel like dying. And so it's suicidal talking. So it increases suicide talking because they're nervous, but it doesn't increase suicide risk.
And people with bipolar disorder sometimes are misdiagnosed as having depression, because if you only see them during their depressed cycle of the disorder, they can appear as if they're depressed, and sometimes they're treated with antidepressant medicines. And when the depression is lifted, they are confronted by mania. And during the mania, when they have great energy, if they have suicidal ideas, sometimes that's the time when they're most vulnerable to hurt themselves.
Men, and many depressed men, use alcohol as a way of dealing with their painful feelings. But then, you know, you get this other thing. When the person is an alcohol who uses a lot of alcohol, they can become very irritable. Very, very irritable. And this is another sign of alcoholism and drug addiction. Now, I think of male depression as being masked. Millions of men are depressed, but don't know it. Millions more know it, but are afraid to show it. It isn't manly to be depressed. Many of us consider emotional problems to be feminine. Mental disability also makes us feel helpless and out of control. So those of us who live with depression wear masks and hide our real feelings from others and even from ourselves. People don't know we are depressed because what they see doesn't look like the kind of depression they're familiar with. You know, you're not hanging your head in the corner. But you would see signs of it, like irritable male syndrome could be a sign of depression.
It's like you're stuffing the depression down, and so it manifests in other anxiety and irritability.
Men are raised to be independent, active, task-oriented, successful, and they tend to express their painful feelings by blaming others. Now, that very thing is what could lead to irritability, because it's all about blaming. See, irritability is kind of you're attacking somebody all the time, and you're blaming them all the time. It denies your feelings, and it becomes a very difficult thing. Our behavior seems more aggressive than passive. Men seem much more aggressive than passive, more wounding than wounded is the male way to be. Men cover their unhappiness with drink, drugs, excessive exercise, overwork, angry moods, beefing up. You know what I mean? Beefing up. And And hidden depression drives several of the problems that we think is typically male. Physical illness, alcohol, drug abuse, domestic violence, failures in intimacy, self-sabotage in careers. All of that seems to be a symptom of the depression, which could be masked by the irritable male syndrome.
And if you think about women's depression, it can be similar. It's not that they're completely unrelated, but women, I think the depression is more accepted in women. If you look at the commercials on television for antidepressants, very often the people in them are women. And so I think it's a challenge when men have feelings of depression. I think you're absolutely right that they feel as if they can't express them in the ways that women do, because it's not masculine.
When we get back from our break, we'll be taking some of your calls today about this irritable male syndrome. You may know somebody who has got that, or you may be somebody yourself. It's a recently coined term for a set of symptoms thought to be caused by a drop in testosterone levels. It's a striking feature of male seasonally breeding mammals associated with the end of the mating season. That's what usually happens with most animals. You know, at the end of the breeding season, there's an irritability to them.
You know, and any drop in a hormone, sudden change in a hormone will affect the body, and it certainly can affect the mind as well.
Men with IMS often experience mood swings, stomach cramps, even hot flashes. And they can't believe it that they're having it. Anger, anxiety, hypersensitivity, irritability. And a change in a male hormone cycle can cause males to experience a lack of arousal, right? You want to know what that is when you're not turned on? It's depression. You know, you don't need Viagra. That's what we talked about yesterday. It's not the Viagra that solves the problem. It's getting in touch with the anger that you feel, the frustration you feel, or the feelings that are underneath it. There are backaches, headaches, hot flashes, sexual dysfunction, stomach cramps. It's a male version of PMS that can cause men to feel antisocial, depressed, and leave them totally unable to concentrate. Irritable male syndrome causes men a natural drop. It makes men sad to see. I think about that dog when I was a kid. Irritable dog syndrome, you know?
Can I coin that?
Irritable dog syndrome. Well, that's kind of the way we are, we men.
I know, but I do want to go back to the Viagra for 1 minute.
Sure.
There are some people that have physical disorders that prevent them from getting an erection, so sometimes Viagra can be very helpful for them. I completely agree that it's important to first rule out the brain as the causative organ, and then rule out some other organs as the cause.
Mm-hmm. Your doctor may say you also to control your IMS symptoms, they believe calcium, magnesium, and salt palmetto are often helpful. And then they talk about a lot of the different physical hormonal changes. But listen, we're going to be listening to you. 212-209-2900 is our number. 212-209-2900. Not yet. But after the break, after the lovely music, after you give in, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I've learned about men. It took me years to learn about men, not only learning about myself, but as a therapist, you get more attention because depression usually comes in the form of women more often. I've been keying in on men, and so I've studied men and learned men and been close to men, and we've been running men's groups now. I have had groups with men that have been magnificent.
When we come back, I have a question for you about men's depression.
Go ahead, give it to me now. I got 1 minute.
Women are more frequently diagnosed with depression. Do you think that that's because we don't know how to diagnose depression in male?
Think so. Men are far more depressed than women. Women feel it and show it. Men, it's just like a hidden little spot of despair. Mm. You know?
I hope it's changing.
I hope it is, and we have the vehicle for it. You know, when you get men in a group, they certainly make changes. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, a little exquisite music and more stuff.
New York.
And this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. That was Astradini by Kousoulis, I think. Kombios. You know, if you hear our music, and you want to hear our music here at you want to find the music that we play for you, this magnificent bunch of stuff, you can go on the website. You go on thepositivemind.com. You go to the archives of the radio, and at the bottom, you'll see all the music that we play. So we always try to provide you with the music and the source. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're here with Sherry Siegel. We're talking about male irritability. Men have suffered with this. It's tough to be irritable. I know it's tough for anybody to be irritable, isn't it? I mean, you know, have you been irritable in your life, Sherry?
Oh, sure. Under
you know,
stress.
It's brutal, isn't
it? And the family of the person who is irritable, or the coworkers, or the children of people who have that irritability, very often they're the ones that spot it first. The person who's suffering doesn't feel good, but they can't really put their finger on it.
Well, you know what it's like when I become irritable? I feel like I'm protecting myself. I mean, since I have more of that inward direction than most people do, I look and I say, you know, and I want to bark at people. You know, I feel annoyed. Like, I want to get annoyed at people on the phone. I want to get annoyed with people. But it's usually covering up sadness. It usually covers up something of a loss. And I think that's the thing about men. I think men have cover-ups. We don't allow ourselves the fragility. We don't have a place for that. I think women may have a place where they allow themselves fragility, and I think we don't allow ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that it's anybody's fault but our own. So we cover it up with aggression. I think war is a form of fragility. I think waging war on people is to say, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm just afraid inside, and I don't know what to do. It's an old syndrome that we've carried for years and years, and we'll destroy the planet this way. We men will destroy the planet through this kind of sense of irritability, which if it were gone, if we could be at peace, if you could put us all on an island and we were all together, you know, it would be so beautiful to be at peace. But it seems like as soon as a man starts feeling that level of vulnerability, whether it be physical or psychological, he either gets deeply depressed or he gets irritable.
Sometimes I see anger and depression on opposite sides of a spectrum, and that sometimes when some people are really good at accessing their sadness and depression, we think of women that way. They can access that size. They can really communicate with it, and people understand it. Men, on the other hand, sometimes can access their anger very readily. You know, and this is not to say that women can't access anger and men can't access depression. But sometimes I think if people who had deep anger, feeling anger, would think, you know, there's some hurt here. There's hurt on the other side. And people who have a lot of hurt can say, gee, there might be some anger here. And they can learn to access the opposite pole.
That's a good point, Sherry, because very often I'll meet people who are depressed. And their depression is usually signified by they having self-blame, self-criticism, and they're angry at themselves. And one of the ways out of anger, we know out of depression, is to get a person to recognize and acknowledge their anger. But one of the ways that we get people out of their irritable male syndrome, or irritability in general, is to feel the vulnerability. Now, I'll talk about PMS and I'll talk about midlife crisis. Of the people that I've seen who have an unusually dysphoric kind of premenstrual syndrome or menopausal syndrome, what I found is if they cry, it passes. But what happens in the middle is they're irritable. Irritable, angry. Irritable, angry. If they could get to their tears, I have one good friend. What she used to do as she was going through this, she would know it. She said she would go and rent movies. And she would rent the worst movies she could find. And I remember she used to rent things like Sophie's Choice. Things that would make her cry. She said, I forced myself to bring my tears on. She said, because I knew I would go through it once I get to the other side.
It's a really resourceful person who understands themselves so well and can treat themselves.
And for men, it's kind of the same thing. We have a group of men, very powerful guys who are part of our men's group. And these are strong men. But what they'll do with each other is they'll say, it's okay, you could weep. And I've seen these 8 grown men all weep in a room together. And it's magnificent.
I give them a lot of credit. It takes great courage to do that.
Oh, sure. Sure, because at some party you feel like somebody's going to cut off your neck any minute now, you know? I mean,
and it's great to have a place that's safe. You know, having a group like that or working with a therapist, that's a safe place. You can just really completely allow yourself to be vulnerable. And that's really how you learn about yourself and ultimately learn about the world.
Really. 212-209-2900. This is Armand Amel with Dr. Sherry Siegel. Let's take one of your calls. 212-209-2900. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. I snuck that up on poor Michael. Well, among the psychological, let me see if Michael's there. 212-209-2900. We keep in mind we do this from a different studio that's a satellite from WBAI. And so sometimes it's not as quick as we think it is. Other things that might affect men psychologically, the loss of someone. You know, if a man loses somebody or a job, nowadays, what's it like? This is what frightens me. If you have Greece with 50% unemployment, if you have California, if we have some of the states in New York with this high unemployment rate, and the highest unemployment rate is among the youth, and they're unemployed, and they can't provide themselves, what are they going to be like? Of course they're going to get irritable. Now we have countries in Europe that have high levels of unemployment and irritable young people. And irritable. They're looking for a cause. They're looking to feel potent.
All right, go ahead.
You know? And if they're looking to feel potent, that aggression is going to come out and we're going to see riots. And especially as the summer comes on, low unemployment rate, irritable male riots. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand. How are you? It's Marcus. How's everything?
Good, Marcus.
I'm just calling. I gather, I don't know, I have a condition, a blame situation, but the blame is my wrist. I had a profile arrest, and it damaged nerves in my body. And so I'm sitting around a little down about it.
What are you down about? What's the matter with your wrist?
I had a handcuff damage my wrist, and it caused me nerve damage.
So you've had handcuffs on your wrist?
Right.
All right, now, that tells us a lot right off the bat.
This was a profile arrest, though. I was filed for like 10 blocks, okay?
Okay.
The thing is now you were mentioning work and stuff, and trying to move ahead. I don't find myself so much depressed as I find that, I don't know, vengeance or what have you. You know, these people have to pay. But
it sure did make you feel powerless, right?
But it, at the same time, it also kind of puts me down. So there's like a day or two, like I don't want to get up out of bed, but you know, you have to.
Okay, so Marcus, let's think about this for a minute. You've got one of two ways to go. You could either become vengefully angry,
right,
or you could say, all right, this is part of it. This is part of the system.
Right.
And I don't say you accept the system as it is and just go along with it 100%.
No.
But I do say that you step up to dealing with it on a different level, because don't let them own your soul. They want you angry. They want you upset. They want you to be at the kind of point where they could point at you and say, see, that's why we put handcuffs on him. Look at the way he is.
And Marcus, like Armand was saying before, sometimes anger being at one end of our feeling spectrum, sometimes if we go toward the sadness that we feel, search inside, see if there's
sadness.
Well,
that's what he's saying. He's saying that he's got this depression that's looming.
And I have one other good thing to tell you. Regarding, okay, well, do you want to just go on about this?
No. I was just going to say it's been other stuff too regarding the system. It's been like a 10-year span of it.
Yeah, you know, and Marshall, let me just tell you.
And I think I've handled it pretty well in 10 years, but the anger is there, that isolating feeling of not feeling like I belong.
Right, you say, yeah, but you know, you sound like a man who grew up without a father. What happened to your dad?
Yeah, I grew up, it's very controversial, not to get too into it, but the person I'm named after is not my father.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a kid without a dad, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that becomes, when you're a kid without a dad, you can't fit into the system anyway, so you fight it. You almost fight it as if you wish you could become a part of it by having war with it.
I don't know. I don't think I want to be so much a part of it as I just want it to helpful to people.
Hey, Marcus, let me ask you something. I'm part of the system.
Right, right.
Do you want to be part of me?
Hey, why not?
That's
I
right.
I listen to you every day.
That's
day
right.
Thursday.
That's right. We could be.
I called you before, too.
I know.
Right.
So we could be. It's not that the whole system is rotten.
No, right.
Okay? Thanks for calling in, Marcus.
No, thank you. Have a
sure.
great day, guys.
Thank you.
212-209-2900.
This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand. John in New Jersey.
Hi, John.
Hey, you have a birthday coming up, Armand.
How did you know that?
Come on now.
How did you know that? These listeners, these people who sit around for ages. Albert Einstein has the same birthday. So whenever you hear Albert Einstein's birthday, you can
Andrew Jackson and me were born the same day.
You and Andrew Jackson?
Yeah.
So you
could
do.
For you.
So you got to burn a $10 bill. Is he on the 10 or the 20?
I think the 20.
The 20, right? So you got to burn a $20 bill, and I have to eat pie. Because
pie,
22 sevens.
Oh, yeah?
Pie is 20. That's Albert Einstein's symbol, pie.
Okay. I was listening to you, Ms. Siegel, and it's true. If you lose family members, the depression I went into from that is terrible. And I had 3 losses in a year's time.
Phew, wow.
And I tell you, they were, like, so important to me in my life, you know. And but aside from that part of it, too, is there any truth to the adage, if you don't use it, you lose it?
Yes.
Really?
And what are we talking about?
Well, the sexuality part.
Well, that's one piece of it, sure. Sure, if you don't use it, you lose it. Of course, if you think about sex, I mean, you think about almost anything. If you don't use your arm, do you lose your arm? Yes.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't use your leg, do you lose your leg? Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's out of activity, if it's not being practiced, if it's not being exercised, it doesn't even remember, you know, how to do it.
Right. Okay, and then there was one more thing I wanted to touch on, Armand.
Sure.
The statement, I suffer from the inability to develop and maintain lasting personal relationships. If I look back at my life, I find that most of my real close relationships never worked right or didn't seem to be healthy in many ways, even if they were long-term, intimate relationships. And I know that's my fault. I know it was my inability, you know. And so now I look at that statement. It's like it's very true in my case. What do I do about that?
Sure. Okay, well, let's go back a minute. Most people I know, I would say 90% of the people I know, have dysfunctional relationships. If you don't have the eyes and you don't look at relationships and you can't see what's wrong, you just kind of say, it's all right. But if you look real closely and you're somebody who examines themselves, most of the stuff that we've done in the past was not so good. We're learning as we get along. Each time, maybe you get a little better at it. It's like you're a growing entity, you see? And so one of the things I say to you is, yes, you may have this tremendous, maybe you're waiting until you're really fit to have an intimate relationship. And the way you'll know that you're really fit is when it happens for real. And of course, if you look back at every past relationship, you can find what was wrong with each one of them. And I think everybody says that as well. You know, what do you think, Sherry?
I agree, and I think that the process is happening as we speak, and that's exactly what you were saying, Armand. When you though said that it was your fault, I think that our relationships come out of what we've learned in our childhoods, and we learn from our family situations, how to have relationships. Sometimes our family situations aren't so good as kids. And so, unfortunately, until we learn how to break the cycle, we keep repeating some of those relationships. So I have to say that I think that rather than thinking it's your fault, it was really your past experience that's guided you into these, you know, not such good relationships, hopefully into better ones soon.
Well, if my fault means I'm wrong, that's one thing. But if my fault means I see the error of my way, I see the fault like a fault line, it's okay, you can have faults. You know, mea culpa, it's like, okay, you know, so you have parts of you that aren't so hot. That's okay too. But to beat yourself over the head, which is what Sherry's saying, to blame yourself for having faults, that's where I think the problem is.
Exactly. It's accepting oneself with these circumstances that brought you to this place and saying, you know, I want things to be different. And that's just what you're saying. So you're already healing.
You're on the way. Thanks for calling in, and happy birthday to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. This is Armando Miller. We'll take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. MEC. Hi there. What do you think, Sherry?
Well, I just wanted to say before our first caller, Marcus, on a neurological basis, sometimes when nerves are compressed by handcuffs, by many different things, they can get damaged because the coating on them, the myelin, is damaged as a result. The good news is, as time goes on, very often the myelin gets replaced and the nerves can get better, especially in younger people.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi there, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Good afternoon. Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Hi, I'm listening to your program, and a while ago my husband gave me a book to read. It's called I Don't Want to Talk About It by Terence Real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an excellent book for not only for the male population but also for the female. And it speaks about what you're just talking about, the subject today.
Well, will you talk about it? What did you learn from it that helped you in dealing with your husband?
For example, like you were saying, that males in general are taught from the beginning, when they were very young, not to express anger or sadness or any other emotions that we women, female, do or are encouraged to express. And so my husband was depressed, and I did not understand why, and why he was moody or upset or at different times lack of energy. And reading the book helped me a great deal.
So now, how's your husband feeling nowadays? Is he as depressed?
Oh, excellent. And actually, we had the book for different friends and give it as gifts. And it helped many of
so he's not so depressed anymore?
No. Well, at least we know how to deal with it now.
Yes, you know how to deal with it because you're no longer thinking that it's a personal affront to you. You're not taking it personally. You see, it's like depression is like irritability. Mm-hmm. You don't take it if you cannot take it seriously. But unfortunately, every one of us in love relationships feel like we're responsible for the other person's feelings. And we believe if they're depressed, it's something I'm doing wrong. What should I do to make them feel better?
Right. And you know, I was very concerned about him more than thinking that it was about me. And it turned out that I was able to help him in all aspect of his up and downs, energy level or mood swings. And I think it's a very good book to read.
That's great. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling
you're
in.
Welcome.
Nice
Take
to
care.
Talk to you. 212-209-2900, Armando Miller. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Nope.
Hey, what did you want to say, Sherry?
You know, it's an interesting title of the book. I don't want to talk about it. If you look on TV, if you look at people having arguments on TV, which serves as a model for many people, when someone is annoyed, when someone isn't, the conversation isn't going the way they want it, what do? They walk out. So it's almost as if they're saying, I don't want to talk about it. It's a really poor model for having a conversation or even an argument. There's fair arguing and positive arguing that can be constructive. But instead, if you look at movies and TV, people just walk out of the room. And I always wish, I wish they would have a good discussion, a good argument, and teach people how to argue the right way.
Or even not, you know, sometimes just to stay there,
yes.
You know? Like, I can't respond to you right now. I can't talk to you right now. I want to stay here with you, but I can't respond because I'm beyond my own reasonable self. And I've felt that so many times, you know? You feel yourself embroiled in something, and you know you can't go any further. If only there were a way of just staying present.
Right.
You know? And then again, if not storming out, saying to somebody, I'm going to go wash my face. I'll be back in a few minutes. Yeah. Just some kind of communication. Because once you walk out, what it triggers is abandonment. Mm-hmm. Part of the difficulty with the irritable male syndrome is this constant threat of abandonment for the person on the other side of it. It's almost like they always feel like they're going to be rejected permanently. And it's a great difficulty. It deeply, deeply affects what people do and how they deal with it. So listen, this is Armand with you. We've run out of time once again. We will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more discussions of more vital stuff. Special thanks to you, Dr. Sherry Siegel.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Armand.
Okay, a little lively music on our way out today. This is called Chambermaid Swing. Back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Resistance, where we agree with Santayana that those who don't know their history are condemned to repeat it.
Corporation, government, religion, husband, father, brother, gonna define our existence.
The Left Forum is coming. Join thousands of people for the largest annual conference of the U.S. and international left.
From Friday, March 19th through Sunday, March 21st, come and be part of the dialogue with an amazing diversity of activists from around the world.
With more than 200 panels and 600 speakers, you can listen, talk, and exchange ideas, as well as challenge the tone of an administration that has failed to deliver justice, hope, or change.
And for the first time, Reverend Jesse Jackson and Noam Chomsky will come together in the same conference. Jackson as the keynote speaker, and Chomsky addressing the closing plenary session.
The Left Forum is an annual gathering that affirms a diversity of left, progressive, and radical voices.
Friday, March 19th through Sunday, March 21st at Pace University in downtown Manhattan.
For more information or early registration, call
212-817-2002 or log on to www.leftforum.org. See you there.
It's dead of winter in the mid-Atlantic. As we navigate snow, ice, and numbing temperatures, you're probably thinking of much milder climes. But as you plan that tropical interlude, have you ever asked yourself just how sustainable is my vacation? Esther Figueroa's award-winning documentary film, Jamaica for Sale, asks this very question and more. Come to a screening of the film and a discussion with the filmmaker at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, March 5th at the 6th Street Community Center, 638 East 6th Street between Avenues B and C in New York City. Again, that's Friday, March 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the 6th Street Community Center. For more information, call 718-789-9177. That's 718-789-9177. 9177.
Cindy Sheehan and the Peace of the Action will be launching Camp Out Now on the lawn across from the White House to demand troops out of the Middle East, reparation for the peoples of these war-torn regions, and a fully funded VA system to reintegrate our soldiers healthily into our society. Cindy Sheehan will be in New York City to meet with supporters of Peace of the Action this Sunday, March 7th at 2 p.m. For further information, call 212-726-1385. That's 212-726-1385. Or email meetcindynyc@gmail.com.